and even Tim, in discussions about the move out of the city. The ultimate threat was that if she didn't take part in viewings, she couldn't complain about the house they wound up stuck in. Her parents were striving heroically to keep their own rows about the proposed move to a strained minimum, so as to present a united front to the kids. "You'll be living there too," one or other of them would say when Jordan's attention wandered from the sheaves of listings provided by rural estate agents. She always had to bite her lip to keep quiet about her secret plan. She wasn't going to stay in the backwoods. Once she had her A-levels, she would head back to London, get a flat with Rick, and find a university place in the city. She'd secretly spent her 16th birthday money on a streamlined Art Deco kettle. Still boxed under her bed, the Alessi would come out when she was setting up her own home. The best thing about this family exodus was that a year from September, she'd be living over 100 miles away from the rest of them. After turning off the motorway, they found themselves driving along winding lanes, craning to make out contradictory signposts for oddly named hamlets. The level of tension ratcheted. Dad held back sharp comments about Mum's map-reading skills. Today, they were scheduled to view 4 places around Sutton Mallet, a village in Somerset that was clearly marked but elusive. If you wanted to get there, it seemed you shouldn't start from here. "Oh, this map must be out of date," said Mum at last, giving up. "More likely it's too new," said Jordan pointedly. "These roads haven't changed in hundreds of years. Perhaps the mapmakers are embarrassed by how antique they are." Mum gave Jordan one of her cold looks. Jordan sank back, chafing her shoulder against her seatbelt. "Sector 15 cleared," Tim said. "All hostiles liquidated." The beep, beep, beep of Tim's handheld device, a mild irritant 3 hours ago, was now as painful as regular tapping against an exposed dental nerve. He reported his kill count every few minutes. His thumbs apparently made him the premier mass murderer of the age, though he claimed his genocides were justified in a time of war. 50 minutes late, in a collective bad mood, they arrived at the first viewing. They piled out of the Hunchback. Jordan had chosen a sleeveless blouse for the journey. April chill ice-stroked her bare arms. The place was a tip. Described as in need of renovation, the house was a derelict shell on a bankrupt farm. Vast sheds still stank of cattle carcasses. The business had been wiped out by mad cow disease. They stood about, depressed by the cheery chatter of Rowena Marion, the estate agent handling their first 2 viewings. "It's ghastly," said Jordan, loud enough for Mrs. Marion to hear, "like an extermination camp for cows." Mum looked as if the criticism was aimed directly at her, which it was. All the places would be like this. Jordan had dragged herself out of bed before dawn for an agonising waste of time. "I think it's a no," said Dad, understating. "Early days yet," shrugged Mrs. Marion, who must have known the farm was unspeakable but still thought it worth showing in the hope the townies were cracked enough to go for it. "This is the first place you've seen, yes?" Dad admitted that it was. "I think you're going to love Clematis Cottage," Mrs. Marion confided blithely. "Follow me and have a look-see." The next viewing was a dear little cottage in the village itself. What the listing concealed was that there was no driveway from the road to the extensive adjoining property, and no suitable place to park within 100 yards. They cruised past the place, momentarily struck by its picturesque qualities. By the time Dad found a half-hearted lay-by on the other side of the village green, they knew it was a loser. Trudging back along a grassy verge, Jordan had to lean into a prickly hedge when a tractor passed. Mrs. Marion, not ready to give up yet, was there before them, on foot. The owner, an 80-year-old, keen to move into a nursing home with the fortune he had been told he would realise on his property, loitered like an eager puppy, promising tea and chocolate digestives. Jordan sympathised, but it was cruel to inflate his hopes. They were in and out before the kettle whistled. They left Mrs. Marion — the pensioner should feed her poisoned biscuits — and had a grim pub lunch, saying little about the show so far. Dad had a pint of the local bit.